Blog Talk Radio.
And every part of my body was in place. Many people died and never saw this day. So another day I live, I appreciate. Don't ever wanna act too high and mighty, cause tomorrow I can fall down on my face. So in everything, Lord, I give you praise. And that puts a smile on my face. Lord, I thank you for sunshine.
On blogtalk.com. I am your host this evening, Brother Michael Smith, and it's always a pleasure to be able to join each and every one of you throughout the week, each and every night. The Lord has been blessing us here at the ministry, and we would just like to say thank you for those who are out there listening right now, and thank you for those who are helping out with this ministry and your donations and your offerings. And we would like to continue to provide content, you know, that actually blesses you. As you get blessed, we get blessed. Tonight we're going to have Pastor Steve Lee teaching, and the title of his topic tonight is Out of a Pure Heart. So for those who are listening, I do encourage you, please get some pen and paper and take notes. as we get ready to turn the mic over to Pastor Steve.
All right. Thank you, Brother Mike, again, for your faithfulness and a display of love to God and the things that you do. So I just bless you. Well, brothers and sisters, let's go ahead and pray and get into the word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. For you have made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. You know, I've been meditating on and understanding why it is that the flow of the love of God, the flow of the promises of God, are not made manifest in our life in a mighty way because Jesus promised that they would. But I have understood that sometimes we didn't think about, explore the word that tells us what we should do. You know, a relationship with God is not like a genie in a bottle thing where you rub-a-dub-dub and you get what you want. There are investments, return on investments that God is looking for. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 15. He says, if you abide in me and if my words abide in you, then you can ask what you will and it will be given you. So there's always conditional understandings, executions that we have to fulfill for the word of God to work. Now, the promises are unconditional, period. But in order to see the promises fulfilled in my life, it requires obedience. It requires what we're going to discuss here is a pure heart. And the way God showed it to me is he said, out of a pure heart. Proverbs chapter 4, just going to take some, I'll just give you some scriptures. You can write these down. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 to 23. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 19 through 23. Psalms 27. Psalms 24. And if we get there, Psalms 28. God has always been genuinely interested in the condition and position of our heart. In fact, he has connected the flow of his promise, presence, and provisions to it. He has connected the flow of his promise, his presence, and his provisions to the condition and the position of our hearts. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 4, starting at verse 20. He says to us, my son, attend unto my words, incline your ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So you can see very clearly the position and condition of your heart God is looking at. He says God doesn't look out on the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. Because his word works best for us. Oh, that's good, the way he said that. His word works best for us when it's at work in us. I say it this way. God can't do anything for you until he first does something in you. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. If he's not working in you, okay, there it is, Philippians chapter 2, that he said he will work in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's Christ, God, at work in you. If he's not working in, don't expect him to work for. Don't expect him to work through. Don't expect him to work by. It has to be out of a pure heart. My son, incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. You know, sometimes people will say things to us and we will dismiss it almost as soon as we hear it. We will judge them as, well, they're not going to do this for me. And so then what was said was never imparted. It was heard. It was not understood. This is the same chapter that tells us with all you're getting, get understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, get understanding. And then he says, so keep my words. Pay attention to my words. Incline your ear. I was just going to just cite this as a scripture to think about, meditate on, but we need to dig in. He said to incline your ear unto his sayings. That means I've got to pay attention even when I, please, beloved, I have to pay attention even when I don't understand. You know, a lot of times, as I say, we dismiss a word because we didn't see anything happen. We didn't feel a goosebump. We didn't have a manifestation. I'll say this again. You've got to learn to trust God, in particularly when you can't track him. When you don't see he's doing anything, you got to give attention to his words, incline your ear to what he says. And if you don't, just so that you can see this verse, he says, give attention to my words. My son, those who are in relationship with me, you give attention to my words. You incline your ear unto my sayings. How do you do that? By not letting them depart from your eyes. You know, it's an interesting thing about the eyes here. The eyes have a gauge for your expectation. What you are looking at is what you are expecting. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. His expectation from his heart produces the life that he'll have. If you're looking at the understanding that it's not going to happen for you, then as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As your faith, so be it unto you. If you don't think that this is what you need to see, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep looking at it. Keep your heart set on it. He says, keep these words, these sayings, in the midst of your heart. Please, beloved, see that. I mean, you can circle the word midst. That means in the center. Now, he doesn't want the word, a lot of us do this, We put the word on the periphery, on the outside. It's not the thing that we gravitate for first. It's the thing that we bypass. When it doesn't work, we go to what we actually trust in. He said, please put the word in the center of your heart. In the center of your heart would be a place that is A, protected, because everything else is around it. It is therefore important. If it's not important to you, it will not have impact for you. Okay? Please, let's look at it and understand this. If I have a glance, come on, let's look, come on, see, there it is. It says, don't let this word, these sayings, depart from your eyes. This is not a glance or a drive-by relationship. This has to be something I keep focused on. That's why he said, do not let your eyes be connected to something else. Okay. Don't be double-minded or double-focused. Keep the word in the center of your heart. Keep the word in the center of your focus. Okay, we'll look at this one. If you have the word in the center of your focus, you will know that that's what's happening, because it will remove, the word by itself will remove doubts, fears, frustrations, and anxieties. If it's in the right place, if it's in the center of my heart, then it will answer and address all of the stuff that's around the periphery, all the stuff that's on the outside, so that when the devil asks a question, faith will answer. When the devil knocks at your door with doubt and worry, faith will answer. Love will answer. And the response of love will then say, get thee behind me, Satan. Okay. The answer of faith would say, what's in my way has to now move. Why? Because there is something in the center of my heart, in the midst of my heart, that will not allow me to stop traversing until I get to the victory. See, we have to become those that persevere. Oh, that's good, sir. We have to be those that persevere instead of those that just say perhaps. See, if I'm one that perseveres, there is no other way about it. I will push through until the thing that has been promised is held, manifested by me. See, if I don't do that, then I gave up and put my eyes on something else. Come on. I stopped hearing his word. I did not incline my ears to what was said. See, I took it out of my eye gate, and I'm not talking about just the natural eye, the eye gate of my spirit, the eye of faith, the eye that hope gives birth to. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. See? Hope is going to give birth to the faith that possesses. So he says, if you're in a relationship with me, hear me. Pay attention to me. Don't pay attention to, so, come on, we can see that right there. If he tells you to incline your ear to what he says, he just said then, don't pay attention to the things on the periphery, the things on the outside. No, I did not say deny them. I said deny the right for them to stop you. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Okay? Faith understands that my redemption is closer now than it was when I first believed. My redemption is already settled because Jesus said, it is finished. Galatians chapter 3:13 says, I am redeemed from the curse of the law. Not I'm going to be redeemed, I am redeemed. See? So then, that's what faith says. So since faith says it, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I don't say let the he didn't say let the redeemed of the Lord hope so. Come on, y'all. See, you're going to have to allow the word that's in your heart to be released out of your mouth because you believe. The word must be in two places. That's what it says in Romans chapter 10. That's the scripture that causes us to know that we are saved. Okay? For it says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto deliverance. See? This is the process. It must be in two places. That's what the word of faith, which we preach, says. It doesn't say who shall go up and get it, but what does it say? The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth. That is, if you shall confess the Lord Jesus, if you shall say what the word says. See? That is, all scripture is given so that you would have proper doctrine, so that you would be thoroughly furnished, so that you would have instruction in righteousness. So then, again, if you understand all scripture has been given for this purpose, then if you don't know how to, when to, what to, then go back and keep the word in your heart. Keep it in the midst. Incline your ears to what he said. Attend to his words, and you will get the instructions in righteousness. You will have sound doctrine. You will then be truly furnished unto all good works. Okay? There will not be anything that you will not be able to see how to do. You will be truly furnished unto. See? You will be truly furnished to be able to get to the finish line. Okay? God intended for you to win. That's why he gave you the victory. Okay, see, that's good. That's good. Blessed be the Lord God that always causes you to triumph. He gives you the victory. You know what? God didn't do what the world does. God did not give you steps to victory. God gave you the victory. Amen. Amen. See, what we're trying to do is we're trying to find the steps. I don't have to try to find the steps if I already have the victory. The steps would help me to maintain the victory. That's another whole place. Okay, just so that you can get it, when you go and purchase a car and you buy the car, you leave with the car. The car is yours. Maintaining the car, that's a whole nother place. You could abuse the car that you just purchased, and you won't keep the car long because you didn't keep it in the midst of the health that it was supposed to be in. There's a proper way to do things. If I don't do that, I can leave with the car, my car. I can put gas in the radiator and put water in the gas tank. And then I can complain that this car, this new car that I just purchased, it's not running. It's not working. Well, I guess not, baby. You didn't maintain it correctly. Okay? He said, attend to my words, incline your ear unto my sayings. Hear what I'm saying about the thing that I've already done for you. Hear what I'm saying about the place I've called you to. Keep those things in your ears. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, in that protected place. Why? Because they, those words, those sayings, those things that are in the midst of your heart, those things that you keep focus on, they are life to those that find you. They are health to all their flesh. I love you put the word all in there, y'all. That means it doesn't matter what I'm facing in the natural, all of my flesh. Okay, let's just so we get it. All of the decisions that I made that were contrary to the word of God, if I begin to hear, keep in my heart, keep in front of me what God says, he said life would happen, and then because life happens and continues to happen, then it will heal everything my flesh did. It will cause, just look at it, y'all. I'm just reading what's there. It will cause life to happen. It will cause health to all my flesh. Do you know that as we go to doctors and the doctors give us prescriptions? This is a gospel. This is the prescription, the original prescription that I've given you. And doctors gives us prescriptions, and the prescriptions that they give us were so that they could assist our health in restoration until we can have victory over whatever was attacking us. That's their purpose. That's what they want to do. They want to give us a prescription that assists in our health being restored. He said, if you find these words, if you find these sayings, if you find focus, if you place them in the midst of your heart, they, the things that you placed and found and heard and inclined your ears to, he said, they would be life to you. And that life can get progressively better because that life will be health to your flesh. It'll fix the bad decisions that God is bigger than your mistake, beloved. And just so that you get it, he said that he is able to deliver by many or by few. He knows no limits or no restraints. He's able to save to the uttermost those that call upon his name. So then your mistakes, they don't stop God. All you have to do, according to 1 John 1, 9, it says, if you confess your sins, then he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, or to become health to all your flesh while life happens for you, in you, by you. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of a heart that has been made pure. I just described the process of purification. The word in your heart, in your eyes, in your focus, in your ears, the process of purification. Amen. Notice here that there is a difference between the phrase with a pure heart and out of a pure heart. With a pure heart can have the connotation of proximity, with, in conjunction or connected to. With a pure heart. So then now questions come up, and the questions would be, what truth is the heart connected to? Could this heart be deceived? Could it be found in ignorance, innocence, or arrogance? Because if it's found in innocence, then it might not know by expectation what to do next, because it's still innocent. It has the word that you have has not been tried. It has not been proven. It's still the word, but it is in its innocent form. And in an innocent form, the devil can mess things up. According to the word of the Lord, Jesus said this in Mark chapter 4, that when the word is sown, it is innocent now. The word is sown. It hasn't been tried, proven. It says that the devil comes immediately to take away that which is sown. Why? Because it has not been tried, tested, proved. Okay, he goes on to tell you how that process goes on, how the devil messes the things up. He comes in there with, there's only five things that the devil can use to get the word out. There's only five. Persecution, affliction, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things. That's all he has. Okay, you can find that in Mark chapter 4. Okay? Verses 14 through 19. You can just look at it, and that Jesus told us that he was coming to do this. And because we had the word on, in a stony heart condition, it brought, did not bring forth fruit unto fruition. It sprang up, but it did not have enough. And when the sun came, it scorched it, burned it out. Why? Because it was in its innocent state. Okay? Understand that a lot of times we don't see that the word is working because we're looking for the results to work. Oh, that's it. That's it. Good. That's it. Good. We're looking for the results as a gauge if the word is working. No, the word's working because it will not return to God void. It will accomplish that which is, he pleases. It will prosper in the thing whereunto he sent it. And sometimes we don't wait on the word to prosper. And in its innocent state, we are demanding perfection. Not going to happen, people. You have to allow the process that's still described in Mark chapter 4. First the blade, then the ear, then the full coin in the ear. There's processional manifestations. Why would that be? Because if I don't know to protect the word in its innocency, hide it in the midst of my heart. Come on, see? That this is processional. You can see that. If I don't protect the word, put it in a place where it will be able to germinate and bring forth the fullness, then I'm not going to have the manifestation I'm looking for. Okay? That's why he told you here. He said, listen very carefully, attend to the words, incline your ear, let it not depart, keep it in the midst. Those are processional things that we have to do. If we don't do those, then the word is still in its infancy and it won't bring forth fruit unto perfection. Just kind of look at this and see. In your own lives, you can track it and say, I didn't hold on to that word. I let other things come in, doubt, frustration, cares of this world. Come on, there's this five things. Cares of this world, persecution and affliction. He said the persecution and affliction only came because of the word. It did not come because of you. It came because of the word. You're not the one that's important. The word is. That's why he said, protect the heart that has the word in it with all diligence. Because out of this heart are the issues of life. See? So again, write that down. Go study Mark chapter 4. Understand, he said, this was the granddaddy parable of them all. If you don't understand this one, you will not understand anything else. Okay, so go back, study, understand how is God saying to me the things that I need to employ in my life so that I can enjoy first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. When you start getting to the full corn in the ear stage, you can enjoy harvest now. That's why the way it is the word is sown. Then, after the word is heard, received, and then the fruit. Those are your three steps. These are they by the wayside, still not Mark chapter 4. They hear the word, receive the word, and then they brought forth fruit. Okay? Sometimes what we do is hear the word, throw the word away, and fuss because we have no fruit. We've got to get back to the place where he said these things come out of a pure heart. So we have to ask the question, what is the truth that this heart is connected to? Could this heart be deceived? Could this heart be in ignorance or innocence? Or could this heart be full of arrogance? Because the word does not work in arrogance. God resists the proud. So it just doesn't work in arrogant positioning of heart. I talked to God and said, I need this to happen by this day. Well, I'm sorry, baby, that's arrogant. So because if I understand the process of the word growing, then I'm going to say, okay, wait a minute, first, let me just look for a blade. Let me just look for a blade. A blade can be as simple as I hope in God. I put my trust in God. And he said, I will not be ashamed. So that's a blade right there. I feel confident that I was heard by God, according to 1 John chapter 5. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. See, the first blade that I have is confidence. This is a settled thing. I didn't say this is going to be a thing that has to happen by a deadline. I just said this thing has to happen. These things that I'm going through, they have to work together for my good. They have to. Because the word will not return to him void. It works together for my good. So then if I don't allow the process of faith to be completed, then I stopped the things from working. All things are supposed to work together. My blade of hope now is going to produce in me the ability to see a different manifestation. First, I see the blade, then I'm going to see the ear. Okay, wait a minute, y'all. Just help me up. Just look at this, walk back through this. I see the blade. I don't see anything that looks like I can eat. I just see a blade. But I keep looking at that thing, not letting it depart from my focus, keeping it in my eyesight. Then the next thing you see, I will see that thing change. And it'll change in manifestation. This time, my hope will not be hope that's unseen. I'm now working with the hope that is seen. The blade doesn't produce my end result without me keeping my eye focused on it. First, the blade. Then I look at it differently from another perspective. Then I see, oh, that's the ear, because everything is starting to work together for my good. And then I keep looking at it and focusing on the promise that's already proven to be true in my life. Then I see the full cord in the year. How does that? See, so we have to look at what truth, instead of it being a with a pure heart, this was out of a pure heart. Out of a pure heart should only come into play after those questions of what truth is it connected to? Can it be deceived? Is it in ignorance, arrogance, or innocence? Okay? It has to go through a process. A pure heart went through a process of cleansing. A heart that has been sanctified and cleansed by the washing of the water by the word, Ephesians 5:26. A heart that has received his mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That was a good one. I saw that today. He said that that's in Titus chapter 2, verse 5, that there is a process of the washing of regeneration. After I have received the mercy of God, then God can get involved of the washing of my heart in regeneration, causing my thoughts to be made new, causing my expectation to grow, regenerate, causing it to come back to life. He said regeneration here. Okay? And then not only is it going to be a washing of regeneration, it's also going to be a renewing of the Holy Ghost. Woo, glory to God. A renew, and please, please, beloved, this did not say a renewing of goosebumps. I know that we have relegated the Holy Ghost ministry to how we feel. I feel the Holy Ghost. Okay, no, he's trying to get you to experience new things in him. Today, if you will hear his voice. Not yesterday, you still walking on. See, okay, again, these are the principles of the Word of God. He gave them manna, and that manna could not go from day to day. If you left the manna overnight, worms. There was a protection of the thing on the day that was sanctified by God, because they can take on Friday and they will still have some throughout to Sunday, because it wouldn't rot. But that's a thing God has to do. Their job was to not go out there and try to get it and store it up. That's a renewing of the Holy Ghost. Fresh manna, if you would. Okay? This is not going to be promises that I'm trying to work because my mama and my grandmama worked it. This has to be a word that is alive in your heart. Please, please, please. I ain't left Proverbs chapter 4. It says, my son. Please hear me. He did not say my family. This is an individual promise. He didn't say, okay, grandmama, you go hold on to the promises and make your own family. I understand that if I just say my whole household shall be saved. Got that. But God deals one-on-one. My son. If I don't want to get involved at the level where my grandmother's faith was, I will not enjoy life at that level. I will have the ability to access it, but I won't enjoy it at that level. Jesus said it very clearly. It's in the red. As your faith, so be it unto you. He did not say as your grandmother's faith, as your pastor's faith, as your husband's faith. He didn't say that. He said, as your faith, so be it unto you. See, so you're going to have to decide that I'm going to allow the renewing of the Holy Ghost in my life. I'm going to investigate, what is the Holy Ghost saying today? In Hebrews chapter 1, it says that Jesus is upholding all things by the word of his power. So that I might need to hear what the word is today. Jesus also said, Matthew chapter 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but he shall live by that which proceedeth, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He did not say that proceeded, he said that proceedeth. That's an active, live word. The renewing, washing of regeneration, and renewing of the Holy Ghost. See, there are things that are involved that we have to participate in order to get to the level that he wants us to enjoy. Please, beloved, please, please, please. I did not say that we would be able to enjoy the level that he worked for. He's already done the work. Really, really, according to what I just read in Proverbs chapter 4, he's only wanting me to hear the word, keep the word, look at the word, let the word flow out of my heart, and it will make my life healthy. Please, that's what he said. Attend to my words, incline thine ears to my saying, let them not depart out of thy mouth, and thy eyes keep them in the midst of thy heart. But they are life to those that find them in health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, because out of that flows the issues of life. See? Beloved, I mean, he has made it so easy that we don't have to fight to get this done. We just have to continue the process. First the ear, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. After that, harvest has come. See? Okay, please. Come on, I'm just, I quote the scripture, but notice that the person, the part of the work that's being done is being done from the inside out, not the outside. First the ear, then that ear produces the corn, and then that corn produces the full corn. The blade, the ear, the corn. Not from the outside did these changes happen. The same thing Jesus told us to consider the birds, because they live from the inside out. They don't live from the outside in. They don't decide, I need to go to whatever the store of the Walmart or the store that you like to go. They don't go in the store and decide to get something. God, Jesus said, your heavenly Father provided for them. That's life that's on the inside manifest on the outside. He said, consider them. They don't toil, neither do they spin. Daisies, come on, do you see this? They don't argue about what my feathers, oh, please. Okay, vanity, vanity. They don't say my feathers is old. I need to go get me some new feathers. I've been wearing this hairdo for how long now? They don't go through those conversations of vanity. They know that their Father is going to provide for them. Get your heart there. As your heart is in that place, then it's no problem with whatever changes. He was teaching that right after he told them, don't be concerned about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. See? Be like the birds, like the lilies of the field. And that's not being inoperative. That's having confidence that your Father is going to do that. They have confidence that word that God said to them in bird language, okay, I'm going to just put that out there. They understood that God is the one responsible for them. Okay? Okay. I mean, it's just a lot of things. I know that you're going to bring up that there are certain birds that are predatory, and they do their own hunting. I got that. I'm not talking about them. He did not tell you to look at the predatory birds. He didn't. See? The fowls of the air. Okay, anyway, because I don't want you to get, again, into the place where you don't do your part. Your part is to keep, pay attention to the word. Incline your ear to what he said. Don't stop looking at that. Focus on that. Keep that in the midst of your heart. And then your heart will produce life and health to all your flesh. Okay? That's what he said. Okay. See, so it's out of a pure heart. A heart that is going through the process of sanctification and cleansing. A heart that is going through the process of receiving mercy and having the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. The flow of his presence out of a pure heart will be easy to be seen in our lives. So let's look at Matthew chapter 5. You know this as the Beatitudes. Okay? And it's interesting that he's saying here that this is what our attitude should be, the Beatitudes. Okay, starting at chapter 5, verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up to the mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they that mourn, they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they that are merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So here, I would just like for you to see some things. God was telling them that the blessing exists before the manifestation. Okay, look at it here. Blessed are the pure in heart. for they shall see God. Those that have done something with their heart are going to have a different view of things. If I go to look for God with a heart that's not pure, I will not see him. Okay? A heart that is pure is a heart that has gone through processes, the washing of the water of the word, the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now, because I have purified my heart, I can see God. After I have been merciful, I obtain mercy. The promise came after the blessing. He promised that I would see God after I purified my heart, after I allowed the process of those things, those steps that we had. After I've decided and purposed to be meek, I then inherit. Oh, come on, y'all. Come on, come on, come on. Notice this. I mean, I just knew you could see these things. See, we try to go work, work, work for the blessings that we... He said, if you do the things I told you to do, you won't have to work no more. You'll inherit. If you are humble of spirit, the whole kingdom, come on, y'all. He didn't just promise you a door. He didn't even promise you a mansion in the kingdom. He said, if I can get you to be humble in spirit, I'll give you the whole kingdom. Hallelujah. Okay? And this was the first sermon that Jesus released. First thing he started giving us instruction on is what our attitude ought to be. Our attitude should not be on trying to get. Our attitude should be on being. Be of a merciful heart. Be of a pure heart. Be a peacemaker. I love that one. He didn't say blessed are the peace finders. He said blessed are the peacemakers. Sometimes in our lives, beloved, we're going to have to be the ones that make peace. We're going to have to stop being the ones looking for peace. We're going to have to be the ones that say, you know what? There is no peace, and I'm going to establish it. I'm going to make peace. I'm going to forgive on purpose. I'm not going to wait till they act like they deserve forgiveness. No, no, no. I'm going to be a peacemaker. Because then I'll change. Come on, come on, come on, come on. The peacemakers change their identity. The peacemakers change their family membership. Peacemakers are called the children of God. Amen. Wow, okay. As I am a child of God, then the responsibility of my provision is no longer mine. It is on the Father. Amen. Amen. I hope you saw that. Because children don't go out to work. Children don't go out and earn wages. Children learn from the family that has submitted to God what I should do as I grow. My son, attend unto my words. Give ear to my saying. Those in relationship with me, I'll get your provision taken care of. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are you when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. For I'm trying to get you to understand. Oh, good God Almighty. Okay, come on, come on, come on. If you are humble in spirit, okay, in verse 3, he says, the kingdom of heaven is yours. If you understand that because of this humility of your spirit, that you don't have to function in pride, if you understand that, then watch what happens again. This is the second time he says this or makes this promise. He says, if I can get you to know that you are blessed when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, I'm going to still make sure you get the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when all men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Your attitude ought to be that I'm going to have a heart that is pure. So I'm looking for God because my heart is pure. My heart is not tainted and slanted in what benefits me now. My heart's position is I'm going to stay pure heart so I can see God. I don't have a revelation of God. Okay? I've already known. I'm not going to get to this. Listen, go over to 2 Timothy. Okay, verse 19 and following. And it's interesting the way he starts this. He was talking to, that's true, I didn't see that was that good. He was talking to us to get us to understand how we should live, how we should continue to believe, how we should not allow things to move us off of our mark, off of the position of heart that we should have. He tells us in 15 that we're supposed to study to show ourselves approved, a workman unto God, that needeth not to be ashamed, one that can rightly understand the steps that have been ordained for me. Rightly. You know, the Word of God starts with you. The Word of God is not for others to do so that you can be blessed. The Word of God is for you to do, and the blessing is automatic. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Then he says, shun of profane and vain babblings. Give ear to my sayings. Stay away from vain, profane, and vain babblings, for they will increase more and more unto ungodliness. And their word that is going to eat as doth a canker. All right? And people that give ear to other things, they will hear things like the promise is already passed, the resurrection is already passed. And when you hear things like it's not going to work for you, that it's not your season, it says that when you hear that, it overthrows the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knows those that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. And see, you're trying to become what you're not. Be who you are, and he will then be able to bring forth the blade, the ear, the corn. But if I'm trying to demand corn day one, I didn't go through the process of sanctification, cleansing. I didn't go through the process of regeneration. I didn't go through the process of renewing of the Holy Spirit. So that I don't know how to function. If a man, verse 21, therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. Play also you for lust, but follow righteousness, follow faith, follow charity, follow peace with them that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions, avoid. It's the second time he said, pay attention to what you hear. Foolish and unlearned questions, avoid, knowing that they only gender strife. That the servant of the Lord must not strive. Didn't say should not strive. Said the servant of the Lord must not strive. So when you are working so hard to do the will of the Lord, you might want to get back at saying, let me learn how to surrender. Let me learn how to submit. Let me stop fighting the regeneration of the Holy Ghost. Let me stop fighting that. That's Jesus said, come unto me if you're heavy laden. Come unto me if you've got burdens, and I'll give you rest. He didn't say you'll work for the rest. You'll find rest unto your souls. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. For the servant of the Lord must not strive. How many times have we been found to fight against God, trying to get our way, get the things that we want to do, because that's the way we understand it. That's the way my mama did it. That's the way my grandmama did it. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Notice this, he said, that the people that are still striving, still trying to get things done their way, they oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth that is in them, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by his will. You're still trying to get answers to why the persecution, affliction, cares of this world, lust of other things enter in, and the deceitfulness of riches is still there. You're trying to find, well, why is that? Why can't I have? See, you're striving. It would be better for you to learn how to say, you know what, God? I'm gonna hear Paul as he preaches to me. I'm gonna learn that whatever state I'm in, to therewith be content. Didn't say that whatever state you're in, you're going to stay there. It says learn to be content. So then when I say, okay, God, I'm not trying to make heaven respond to me. I'm all right. You in my life is enough. See, that's one of the things that the pride of life does not become manifest when I'm trying to get that attitude worked out. Because if I submit myself, humble myself under the mighty hand of God, he will exalt me in due season, in due time. The reason that I'm probably not out of the trial is because I have not gone through the process that he has for me to participate in, so that I will know what to do as I come out. I don't have any renewing of the Holy Ghost going. I have no regeneration of the washing of the word. Okay? I'm still a spoiled child fussing about what I don't have, what I didn't get. And as a child that fusses and complains, murmur against the Holy Ghost, it's going to be very difficult for him to cause the renewing to take place. I'm too busy arguing, striving with him, making my point, and that point becomes a point of contention. And God is asking us, will you please submit to me, that God would give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may then recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. See, out of a pure heart. That's what God is looking for, beloved. He's looking for you to just say, okay, God, I'm no longer going to fight with you. I'm just going to hide your word in my heart. I'm going to allow the process of growth that you have laid out for me. Then I can enter into that rest Jesus promised I would have. I'm going to take his yoke, learn of him. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. I'm going to take his yoke and I'm going to learn of him. Okay. Jesus, Son of God, God incarnate, did no sin, and yet he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. See? Please, 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 please hear that, beloved. I didn't see that till just now. He did not learn endurance through the things that he suffered. He learned obedience through the things that he suffered. What do you mean? He learned another way, a higher dimension of how do I apply that word that says forgive? How do I apply that word that says love? How do I apply that word that says rejoice when you are persecuted? How do I apply that word here, God? He learned obedience through the things that he suffered. We're trying to learn endurance through what we suffer. No, let this mind be in you. That was in Christ Jesus. He learned obedience. I mean, come on now. I just see that real clear right here. See, because we'll say, well, I'll God will help. Come on. Strengthen me, Lord. Help me. He's wanting to help you by giving you new information. He's wanting to help you by giving you an understanding of that which he has already given as victory for your life. See, that's what he wants for you. But you're going to have to make the decision that, okay, God, your way of learning, teaching, instructing, guiding is different than my way. And I'm going to abandon my way, for the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle. Put himself in a position that his life becomes a teacher. Glory to God. I don't require people to then do what I say, not what I do. I'm asking people to walk in what I do. This is what Paul said. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. He didn't say, follow me as I talk about Christ. He said, follow me because I'm a doer of the word. I'm not one that is deceived. Because if I hear the word and I'm not a doer of the word, I deceive my own heart. But I'm one that does the word. I find a way. That's what Jesus learned as he went through stuff. He learned ways to obey the word that was already given to him. And I'll just tell you this. That's true, sir. The word comes first. You might not have understood it, but the promise comes before the provision. Amen. If you would begin to think from that position that there was a promise, the devil only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He cannot steal what you do not have. So the word has to have already been given to you. Our job is to maintain what was given. Hide that word in my heart. Keep it in the center of my heart. Keep my focus upon that. Let it not depart from my eye. Don't let me start looking at what I'm going through and then give up the promise that causes my provision to be made manifest of a pure heart. They that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. See, that's our job, our responsibility, is to allow the process of renewal of the Holy Ghost, to allow the process of the regeneration of the washing of the water by the word, to allow that process that I will be able to then live out the song that was sung with good intention, but we didn't get there. I looked at my hands and they looked new. I looked at my feet and they did too. So no, not if I haven't gone through the process of regeneration, because if I just allow my hands to just get wet and not have a washing of regeneration, then I didn't have change. People, I know of people that got baptized, and when they came out the water, they were just a wet sinner. There was no change of heart. There was no change of thought. There was no change of commitment. I just said, these are the things that I have to do so that I will be saved. No, it's going to take more than that. You're going to have to receive his mercy. Look at Titus 2:5. You're going to have to receive his mercy and then allow the process of washing of regeneration. Allow the process of renewal of the Holy Ghost. Okay? So that you will then be able to approach God, and this is what I wanted to get to in Psalms 27. Because he says that through this process, I will lift up my head. Then shall my head be lifted up above my enemies. What does that mean? I'm going to look at things differently. He lifted up my head. Notice he didn't say, then my feet will be lifted up. He said, then my head will be lifted up. I'm going to have a different perspective of the situation. And because of a new perspective, I will then have a better expectation. Now, my response is not going to be to the people that are attacking me. I don't have to worry about them. I will be lifted up above mine enemies. See? This is a renewing of the Holy Ghost. He brings different information. They that wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Why? Because they got new source of information, new supply of victory. The choice is yours. Which will you choose? Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we just bless you and we thank you for your word that you sent to heal us. Thank you, Father, that you've given us the opportunity to enter into your rest, to enter into your victory, to establish your will in the earth through obedience. We also will learn obedience to the things that we suffer. Thank you, Father, for teaching us by your Spirit, not by experience. Teaching us by your word, through your love, so that we can be changed from glory to glory into the self-same image. We give you praise, Father. We give you glory and honor. Committing it to you is done in the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior, and the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, folks. I'm going to go ahead and open up the lines and get some commentary on tonight's teaching. Starting with area code 714. 714.
Hey, brother. How's it going? How are you guys doing tonight?
Hey, brother. How are you?
How about you?
Great teaching. I mean, definitely what I'm going through right now, because I've definitely gotten away from keeping the word at the center of my life. And, I've been paying for it. I've been paying for it these past couple of weeks. And
okay. Now,
you know, these past couple of days, I'm kind of just been trying to get back to that place. And, it's definitely a challenge, like, once you get away from the word like that. But, that's where I'm at. Great teaching.
Okay, again, I'll help you. Again, I can only encourage you by what Jesus said and by what he did. And he said, if you find yourself in heavy toil and burdens, then the thing to do is to move from where you are, come unto him. All right? Once we find him, the ease or the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus will then be made manifest, because we will do what he says. We will put that before our eyes. We will keep that in the midst of our heart, and that process will cause our whole life to be made manifest and healing for all of our flesh. So I just submit to you that this is what we've all gone through or going through. It's the people say you're either in a testimony, in a trial, going out of a trial, or you're about to go into a trial. One of the three, not a problem. At any point you find yourself separated in thought or position of heart, come unto him, find him, and you will find rest unto your soul. It's really that simple. So I'm glad that you see the challenge, and I've given you instructions to come out of it and be in the place of victory. Amen.
Amen to that, brother.
Amen. Glad to help. That's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. Amen. Thank you, my God. Thank you, my God.
Area code 845. 845.
Amen.
Hello, brother.
Amen. Hello.
Hello.
How are you? Yeah.
Hey, how's it going, brothers?
You know, it's always
going
to be good,
bro.
Like I say, if I was any more blessed,
yeah.
I think God was partial.
That's very true, brothers. I'm just sitting here listening, enjoying everything always, brothers. Brother Steve, Brother Mike, you know, it's always a pleasure to be here, fellowshipping, listening, learning, and I'm just trying to let God work his perfect work in me, you know, and just be a peacemaker and just stay strong in your faith, you know, fight the good fight of faith every day. It's tough. It's a challenge. Keep focused, to stay strong in the midst of adversity, you know, in the midst of persecution. But it is good as long as God is in control, and as long as we can be obedient and just follow Jesus, then all should be well, right? we will survive, like the old song says, right?
Yeah. You know, I there are certain things that I hear, and I have a response that's just almost quick, because we say you know, that it's hard, and I understand the concept, how that whole sentence was constructed, but the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard.
That is true.
Yeah. So then, if that's the thing that's hard, and I'm not transgressing. Okay, I am missing the mark, coming up short. Okay, that does not make me a transgressor. That makes me one that is in need of mercy. And he said, if I would come to the throne, Hebrews chapter 5, if I would come, chapter 4, 16, if I would come to the throne of God, he says, I will find mercy in the time of need. I will find grace that will help me. I will obtain, he said, I will obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. But notice he said, I have to come boldly to the throne of grace.
Yeah.
See? So I can make mistakes left, right, and sideways, but I am one that has been given open invitation in multiple places. If I confess my sins, he's faithful and just. But he said, I can also come boldly and find the grace that's there to help. I will obtain the mercy for the stupid that I did.
That's right.
Okay. So we've got to think that, because this is what he told me, and I'll just share this today. Today I was just, you know, just I'm learning to have my conversations curtailed and do more listening than I am asking or requesting or confessing. And because this is very strange to me today. Well, the other day, he did this, he said this. I was praying in the Holy Ghost, and I said, that's always a good thing. You know, we ought to always pray in the Holy Ghost. And I said, yeah, because building myself up. And he said, yeah, he told me to hush. I said, you know, I said, well, you know, I don't know what I did wrong. He said, it's not wrong. He says, but when you're communicating from in your mind, still engaged with, let me hear what this said. No, just wait, I'll talk. So then I said, okay. I'll just hush. So then I go into prayer time and I say, okay, Stevie, make sure you do the quiet your spirit down so that you can hear. And he said that his people are still approaching him from the position of what they did wrong as opposed to what he has done for them. And we will pray from that position and then leave without the ability to be filled, because we left and we brought a full plate when we came. And I said, well, I hadn't thought of that, that his people still go to him and talk about all of the wrong that they did that causes them to be disqualified from receiving the love, the mercy, and the grace. And I said, okay, we've got to do better at teaching them that your approach to God has to be one that is boldly, so that you know you can obtain. And if I know that I'm going to obtain, I have to empty myself, or I cannot obtain, can I?
That's very true.
A full bag can't get nothing.
That's right.
Okay, so that's what I want. We need to do this. We're going to teach this more, you know, so that people will stop going to God with the wrong disposition of heart and then leave empty because they came there full. Okay.
That's right, brother. I guess I have to get my mind a little more in tune. I guess I tend to come down to God instead of coming humbly and just understanding that his position is forgiveness, and that's what Jesus Christ came for, to take our sins so we can be forgiven, so we can come to God the Father. And I guess I tend to beat myself up a lot. And I mean, maybe not even just because of sin, maybe I'm just amazed that, you know, this the Lord, just his grace and his mercy on us, even though we don't deserve it. And just knowing that I still fall short, no matter how good a day is, I still fall short.
Sure.
just knowing that on my conscience.
Right. And so then he said that the blood of Jesus is able to even sanctify your conscience.
That's right.
See? Yeah, and like I say, these are things I had to continue to work at and work in, okay, to my spirit, and just say, okay, that's not my issue. Since that's not my issue, then why am I acting like God is the culprit here? Why is he the one? No, I should just go and say, you know what? I'm just going to come there and allow you to shower me. Even if I was unjust, he said he got rain for the just and for the unjust.
Amen.
I'm just going to go get wet, God. I'm just going to come on into your presence and just get soaking wet.
Brother, you are so right.
Yeah.
I just need to get wet. That's it.
That's all.
I'm not going to take a shower.
Yeah, that's all it is. See, again, that's what we talked about. We talked about the regeneration of the water. That's the cleansing of the water, the sanctification of the water, the word, and then the renewing of the Holy Ghost. See, if we don't do that, see, I just become a person that went to God, got water, and came back, and I didn't change on the inside. If this water that he has, he told the lady at the well, this was living water. This was a different water. See, that's what he told. He said, I'm not just talking about bathing you on the outside. This is a living water. And this water bathes from the inside out, because out of your bellies will flow rivers of living water. He's trying to clean us up from the inside out, not just the outside. Glory to God. And we should just go in his presence and allow the process of cleansing by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost does stuff on the inside. He's the one that shed the love of God abroad on the inside of my heart. Amen. Amen.
But,
so, beloved, I do that.
Yes, but it's like every time I talk to you, I just get a new revelation of, like, living in the spirit of God and not being in my mind all the time, you know, just thinking.
Okay. Yes.
I just gotta get out of just thinking, you know. Just let God work.
just let
God work. I think I stop him a lot, you know.
Okay. Hear that, and again, I get that. We do it. Here's what. So you say words. I say words trigger me. He said, "He that has begun a good work in you, he is faithful to complete it." So then, when I find myself working, striving against him, I go, "Excuse me. I didn't even start this job. God did. He who began a good work in you, he's faithful to complete it." I just go, this ain't my job. It's your job. Okay. Go ahead and do what you're going to do, God. That
brother,
puts us in the
true.
Right position. Yeah.
That's
so
right.
Be encouraged, my brother. Be encouraged and be strengthened. All right. And then go to the place where you can renew the position of heart. Amen.
Amen.
Love you.
I would do so, brother. Love you. Love you too, brother. Mike, love you guys.
All right,
love you too, brother.
Shalom, guys.
Shalom. Amen.
Shalom. Amen. All right. That is, that looks like that was the last caller for tonight.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Uh-huh. All right, Pastor Steve, anything else that you wanted to say in closing?
No, just be encouraged, my brothers and sisters, because the love of God does not fail. And there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So enjoy his presence and grow in the glory of God. Amen. Be blessed.
Amen. All right, folks, that is the end of tonight's broadcast. We thank you for once again tuning in to us here on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Please don't forget, if you've been blessed by any of the teachings tonight or any other night, please sow a seed here. And, you know, just help the ministry continue to be able to provide and grow, you know, for those who are out there listening and for people who want to come in and get deliverance. We thank you for we thank each and every one of you for all that you do for this ministry. And we continue to strive to be here for you. Now, with that being said, we would like to go ahead and close tonight. Shalom. God bless. And if it is the Lord's will, we will see you again here tomorrow night on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com.
Amen. Be blessed.
You too, Brother Steve. Be blessed.
Oh. Army of the Lord walk with victory, because the Almighty goes before when the enemy tries to kill me.